Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is our gospel lesson because it's Transfiguration Sunday. I liked it when I went to PetSmart and they used to have a chameleon there because I think they're really kind of cool. Yeah, I know, I kind of like strange things. But what makes a chameleon so much fun is the fact that they can change colors. When they feel dangers around them, they change their colors to blend into their surroundings, and they can turn into various shades of brown, green, and even gray. Now, when you hear the expression, somebody shows their true colors, would we generally agree that's not a good thing? Well, this is a good time in the Transfiguration when that expression would fit, showed his true colors. Jesus shows his true colors. Yes, his clothes became as bright as the sun itself. But within that dwelt the full deity of God. He didn't conceal his glory. He showed the disciples, "This is my glory that's in heaven," or at least gave them a little foretaste of what was to come. And it's certainly a sight that they wouldn't forget. Notice even Peter, when he writes his epistle there, which was our epistle lesson, Peter mentions that, "I was there and I saw it." So they go up on the mountain. No, not just for a hike, because supposedly people go on hikes because it helps to clear the mind. I never quite understood that. Just drive up there and you're up there faster. However, Jesus did not take him up the mountainside just to de-stress the body and to clear the mind. He's got a plan. See, Moses had gone up on Mount Sinai with 70 of the elders of Israel. And that was our Old Testament lesson. And what an amazing picture. They sat and ate and drank with the Lord. Kind of reminds you of the Garden of Eden, when God walked in the garden at night, in the cool of the evening, as it was put, and talked to Adam and Eve. God is sitting down, having dinner, with 70 of the elders of Israel. And keep in mind that in this culture, having a dinner with somebody meant that we are friends and pledging protection. God is saying to them, "You are my friends." Elijah, he had to flee Queen Jezebel, which kind of made sense after he killed 400 of her prophets of Baal. Old Jezebel got a little irritated with Elijah. He gets to the mountain where God only speaks to him in a whisper. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration reveals his glory to the three disciples. But they would also see Moses and Elijah too. Now think about this. Have they ever seen pictures of Moses and Elijah? No. But they knew who they were. Now that's kind of amazing. Somebody you've never seen before, but you know immediately who it is. Kind of gives us an idea that in heaven, when we get there, we're going to know everybody on sight. It also proved to the disciples that they were not, that Moses and Elijah were not dead, but they're standing on the mountain talking to Jesus. Proof of the resurrection. It's proof that there is life after death. The resurrection doesn't happen until the end of the world. So I kind of messed that one up. Each one of the Gospels describes this event. And they describe Jesus' clothes in slightly different words. Matthew says, "bright as light, and his face was like the sun." Luke says his clothes were like lightning. And Mark says that his clothes were brighter than bleach. Any way that they could bleach clothes, his clothes were brighter than that. Jesus has done all these miracles. We're right at the tail end of his ministry on earth. He's walked on water. He's healed the lame. He's raised the dead. He's showing them his divinity through actions. Now he's going to show his divinity by what he looked like, by giving them a glimpse into the glory of Christ. And the conversation that the three disciples hear is not one they really want to hear, because they're talking about Jesus' upcoming exodus, which means leaving. And when you say the word exodus to a Jew, immediately what comes to mind is to go back into Egypt the night of the first Passover, when the lamb had to be sacrificed so that the firstborn in the house would be spared. And they're hearing these words now that the Lamb of God is going to have to be sacrificed for everyone. The disciples don't want to hear these words. And Moses and Elijah are not trying to talk Jesus out of it. We don't know what their conversation exactly looked like. But both Moses and Elijah had prophesied about what Jesus was to do when he came. I'm sure they came to encourage him because they knew what he had to do. See, from here on the Mount of Transfiguration, then he heads south, not really ever getting detoured at all, heads south to go to Jerusalem. I'm sure that Moses and Elijah encouraged him that, yes, the cross is the only way for the people to be saved. Jesus is going to reveal his glory again when he's on the cross, after he's crossed the so-called Valley of the Shadow of Death, because he goes from one mountain to another and has to pass through the valley. And the disciples didn't know what to say. So good old Peter, foot and mouth Peter, says, let's build three shelters. This way it can last forever. Do you ever have moments that you really want to have just keep continuing on and on? You don't really want them to end? I kind of had that a year or so ago when we were on the cruise, and it was 10 o'clock at night, standing on the railing, looking at the moon over the water, going, oh, this is peace. I don't want this to end. Then, you know what? The silly ship came in the port. All right? And we also like to be protected. Parents, don't you wish you could have put your children in a bubble and protected them from the world around them so they weren't exposed to all the things the world has to offer? You want to feel protected. Do you ever have that desire to move to a cabin way up on a mountain, be far away from anybody else, and only come down once a year for food? Come on, show of hands. How many of you have wanted that? I could be a hermit so easily. All right? And as a pastor, I really wish I could protect families from hurt and pain. I wish the devil didn't exist. I wish that sicknesses and diseases were gone so that no one in this congregation has to suffer. But you know what? I can't stop the world from the effects of sin. Excuse me. Not quite over it. You know, we do go through a lot. We go through our own valley of the shadow of death, and we pray that God would see us through it. Even when we're on the mountains, when things are really good, we have to be reminded that we are still mortal. See, for the disciples, this can't last long, but they get a glimpse of who Jesus really was, that he is God himself. And they also got an understanding who was going to the cross. It was God himself going to the cross. And then they hear a loud voice. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. These are basically the same words that were spoken way back when at Jesus' baptism. When it was announced to Israel, your king is back. Listen to him. Now these words are spoken again when Jesus is about to head to Jerusalem. And the king's going to get on his throne, not the way the disciples understood that to be. And this king is going to come and save his people. And they're told to listen to what he has to say, not what they want to hear. Two entirely different things. What he actually says and what they want to hear. What they wanted to hear is he's going to rule powerfully over the entire earth, overthrow Rome. And certainly if he's going to do all this, he can't possibly die. That's just talk. They didn't want that to happen. See, had they actually listened to what Jesus had to say, his death wouldn't have been a surprise on Good Friday, and the resurrection on Easter Sunday would not have been a surprise either. They didn't really listen, and more importantly, they didn't believe what they heard. They had to go through all those times of troubles during Holy Week. We go through times of trouble in our own life. God does not shelter us from the troubles of the world. He strengthens us, though, to get through those troubles. You know, we love the passages in the Bible where God talks about how he protects us or how the hairs are on our head are numbered. Some of us have more than others. We like passages like that because it makes God into this protecting, almost father-like figure. Just wants to hold us. But we don't want to hear about the pain and the death. You know, we pray for health, but we pray for no cross. We don't want to carry a cross. We love the glorious visions of life, but we don't want to listen to all the rest he has to say. Just tell us the good stuff and the bad stuff that's going to happen. See, aren't we just like the disciples? We don't want to listen to that. We need the same reminder to listen to him. And as Peter is talking away, I love that. And while Peter was still talking, God the Father broke in and said those words, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And they immediately fall down because they are in the presence of holiness and majesty. They had to have a profound, I mean a serious, profound sense of their own sinfulness. And notice, Peter finally shuts up. Isn't that a rarity? It took God the Father to shut Peter up. Because what God the Father had to say was more important than what Peter had to say. And it begins with, "Behold, it happens." So boom, just imagine like a crash of thunder, God the Father starts to speak. And while they're clinging to the ground doing their best imitation of dirt, I'm wondering if they were thinking, how can we be in the presence of God when we are such sinners? That's the proper attitude that we should have when we are before God, in the presence of God, to realize that we are sinners in need of a Savior. You know, you can have all the time for words and works, plans, programs, all of that, but we have to take time to listen to him, to realize his glory and to contemplate the great glory of God, and just to be in awe and to tremble when we consider that we are in his presence. We are in sinners in need of him. The only way that the disciples could be there in the presence of God, the Father, is because Jesus was there. Only through Jesus do we get to the Father. And the Bible focuses our attention on what Jesus has to say. And then as his story is beginning to wrap up, Jesus touches the disciples. Not something to overlook or to think is just too simple or miss that today. See, today it's almost gotten the taboo to touch anybody. You notice that? You know, a teacher can't touch a student on the shoulder to say good job or keep working at it. You can't touch. It's a bad thing. Somebody touches you, it's like you're in my personal space. Maybe that's just an American thing, but we kind of gotten away from the idea of touching, and some touching's good. I mean, some of it's obviously bad, but some of it is good. People, look for People look for help on the internet, and they don't mind getting advice from somebody they have no idea who they're actually talking to, but it's sure not the same as talking to somebody in person, have a touch or a hug. Physical creatures need to be touched. All right, you got a pet at home. When you get home, even you cat owners, because sometimes they miss us too, don't they want to be petted right away? We are just like them. We need the human touch. You know, Christ touches us in the Lord's Supper. He gives us his body and blood and is touching us in that way. And he's giving basically the same message. You are forgiven, all is well. That's what he tells the disciples. Basically, all is well. Get up and don't be afraid. And then he tells them, don't tell anybody about this until after the resurrection. And amazingly, Peter keeps his mouth shut. Wow, for once, Peter held off until he wrote 1 Peter to actually write about it. Jesus is going to head now to Jerusalem, to Calvary. He's going to go through what has been termed the valley of the shadow of death. But it's not over then. That's where the disciples missed what he was saying. It's not over then. Jesus will rise and death will be conquered. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. It's the beginning of Lent. So through this season of Lent, don't forget how it ends. Jesus will say to you on Judgment Day, don't be afraid, get up. Come with me in heaven and see my true colors always. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.